bicep, the same thing, the same thing. God is good.
No, am I on? All right, Zephaniah, the prophet. Zephaniah has a meaning. All the names in the Bible have meanings. They're not just names. And does anyone remember what Zephaniah? Did somebody guess? What? Yeah, okay. So, something hidden. I want to just go into a little bit more because today's the last chapter. And what it is Zephan, it means something hidden, but it actually means someone who's a watchman who's guarding or keeping a treasure that hasn't been brought out yet. It's something that, you've been assigned to watch over it. So what it's saying is Jehovah or God or Yahweh is watching over, keeping a hidden, secret, concealed, valuable treasure that he hadn't yet brought out. He's guarding it. And he's expectingly waiting for the moment when he can bring it out. In other words, he's going to use it later. So now if you understand, then Zephan is the word for that, whether it means hidden or watchman, because God is hidden. Nobody can understand God completely until you see what he's doing in Jesus Christ. So in the Old Testament, God was always hidden. But even today, you don't see that a lot of times what's hidden in your life is actually the love of God. You don't see the love, you just see the trouble. But actually, behind the trouble is the love. It's a treasure. In other words, the thing that you hate is actually a blessing. The thing that you don't like is actually good for you. You see, God, get me out of this, get me out of this. No, he doesn't want to, because what he's doing is killing your flesh. And that's your flesh crying out not to die. Because your flesh doesn't want to die. That's why you don't want to go through the furnace or the fire or the trouble and so on. Anyway, Zephaniah, which means God, Yah. Zephaniah just means God is working in the dark, concealing something, something secret, hidden, but very chosen, special, valuable. And he's going to bring it out. So that's what this book is all about. The name tells us everything. You have a name, Christian. Your name hides the fact that you don't look like what you are. How many know some of you are secret agents of Jesus? Nobody even knows you're a Christian, because you've hidden it behind all of your behavior. They think you're a pagan. Isn't that amazing? But actually, you love Jesus. Actually, deep in your heart, you may be a mess on the outside, but on the inside, you've got a treasure, something valuable that God is watching over. You can't bring it out. I said, okay, I'm gonna reveal my Christian nature today. Yeah, but you can't. Only God can convert a person. Only God can sanctify a person. Only God can do anything. So even though you have this Christianity buried inside of you, concealed, you don't know how to bring it out. And you think, because you don't understand hiddenness, you think when it says in the Bible, walk in the ways of the Lord, that you can just do it. And then you feel guilty because you didn't do it. How many feel that way? Hey, God says to do it, I'll do it by gumbo. Well, you're not going to do it. You can't do it. Because doing it is not a matter of words. God says, walk like Jesus. Okay. That doesn't help. You can say okay all day long. The only thing that'll make you grow up is a spanking. That's the hiddenness. You see, there God is, you don't see his love, but the father that chastens his son loves him. The father that loves his son always spanks him, because otherwise he'll never grow up. You cannot grow up without suffering, growing pains, affliction. Isn't that funny? That's Israel's problem. Israel's problem is she wants to come out of Egypt, go straight into the promised land without wandering about and suffering. And then, today, since she's in the land, just, enjoy it. ain't gonna happen. Have to go through hell. How many of you have had a lifetime with a little bit of hell? Just a little teeny weeny 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 bit of hell. You know, just like, oh, I don't understand. You ever had that in your life? I just don't get it. That's God. What don't you get? Well, I thought God was loving and good. Look at my crappy life. You know, see, yeah, you misunderstood. You see, you misunderstood. Look for the blessing. I can't find it. Well, look again. It's there. You see, all that stuff that's happening to you, that darkness, those shadows, those pains, those fires, those afflictions, those troubles, those are the blessing. That difficult husband. Did I miss you on that one? That was an illustration. I was using an illustration to show you that you didn't get a perfect husband. How many didn't get one? You got home, you unwrapped the package, and all of a sudden you found it wasn't what you wanted. It's like, oh my God, what was this? I must have got this from the used department or something. This thing is no good. Do you ever see how that happens? Hello? You say, you might misunderstand the wife that God gave you. You might think of her as a nag or, you know, a dripping faucet. And all those scriptures. But you know what? You were just blessed by a gift of God. That husband you got was a gift of God. Don't despise that gift. Don't just go by the wrapping. You know, just go by what's on the outside. Sometimes I would give Peggy a present, but I would wrap it in newspaper or something so she wouldn't think it was worth anything. And everybody else had a nice gold wrapping, a nice bow. So I give Peggy, here, Peg, here's yours. Oh, thank you. And Peggy being phony and fake, she'll always say, well, thank you very much, you know. But inside she's seething. Like, this is crap. You know, it's no good. She hates it. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, but I would do that just the more valuable it was, the more I'd make it look like it wasn't. Have you ever noticed that that's the way God does it? He wraps up Jesus looking like nothing, but he turns out to be extremely valuable. He has him born in Bethlehem rather than Fort Worth. God never does anything the way you think. He always does everything upside down. So when you despise the small things, we're a small outfit, and so you could despise it. Ah, well, our little place, you know, it's not so hot. Of course, we got sinks now, right? I haven't seen them yet. They're pretty nice. Well, we're coming up in the world. But prior to that, we've been pretty crummy looking. You know, this is a hole in the wall, right? Everybody knows that. We have no stained glass windows. We have no cross on the back. We have no baptismal font. We have no bowling alley in the basement. We don't even have a basement. We don't have anything. We don't even have a cross on the outside or anything. We don't have anything that makes us look like a church. It's just a hole in the wall. But this is where God told us to go. I remember, Joe, it was your husband that kind of located this place and said, I found one. You know, I found a place for us. And I came down and looked at it. It was awful. No, you didn't? Oh, well. I wished he'd have mentioned that. You mean we can get out of here? So you see, he got this place, and it was really ugly. It's ugly now, but it was really ugly. It was blue, old carpet, and I don't know. The whole thing's a mess. Anyway, doesn't matter. The point is that God said, this is your home. Apparently for a while, but I was waiting until Jesus came back again because he didn't mention that. He didn't mention that it was temporary. But anyway, never despise what God has given you. Remember, Moses said, God, give me some help here. He said, well, what do you need? Well, I don't have anything. He said, what's in your hand? Well, it's a stupid stick. So if that stupid stick that you say is nothing, throw it down. Put it down. Drop it. Okay, so he threw it down, and he said, well, so what's that? Well, just do what I say. Take that stick and do it the way I say it. And it turned into a snake. And Moses said, well, that's cool, but who wants a snake? And he said, pick it up. Pick it up? Which end? And God said, well, the end you're going for is the wrong end. Go for the other end. No, it'll bite me. That's right. Pick it up the way I tell you. And so God turned that thing into a powerful, I mean, nobody, he didn't even see the value of that stick. You hear what I'm saying? You got something in your life right now that's beautiful and powerful, but you despise it because you think it's nothing. It's a dried up piece of nothing. You totally don't understand anything. The wife you have, she's precious. The husband you have, he's a precious gift from heaven. You despised it because it didn't look good. And it looked like suffering. It looked like pain. And I mean, the one thing about it, you can't control him. And you can't control her. That's what we don't like. I like someone I can control. Totally, you know, do what I say, when I say, how I say. I mean, I mean, that's a little temptation we have, is to try to think we can control kids even. I mean, you can't even control your own kids. You can't even control your own little children. You know, when they're, you know, when they're about one, you can do it, because they can't move. See? But as soon as they start going on their own, they like independence. They like being on their own. They get defiant. Have you ever noticed that in kids? They pass through this stage where, while they're laying there totally helpless and hopeless, innocent and sweet, just pooping and stuff like that. That's about it. But when they get past that, they start to be persons. And it isn't funny after a while. It isn't funny. It's not funny because they defy you. A lot of times in public, you know, we get a different view of it. But when they're home, a lot of kids are just really powerful little things. It takes two adults to tackle one little kid. Now, I'm telling you, it takes two. Those little kids are powerful. And they grow up. They're just little bitty kids, but they grow up so powerful. And they don't want to be controlled. And then when they're 12 and 13, they're just off, you know, they're 21 already or something. You know, they're just, you know, putting on stuff and, you know, they cost you stuff. They cost you a lot of money. What happened to the paper doll stage? Why, you know, now we have to buy cars and stuff. You know, kids are, I don't know, you just can't control them. Have you ever noticed that about people? They're uncontrollable. Anybody you marry is uncontrollable because they belong to God. They don't belong to you. And you might think, well, they belong to the devil. No, you might. You might think that. You might think, they don't belong to God. They belong to the devil. Well, they don't belong to you, that's for sure. And, you know, that's the problem why you want to be in control. You see, God, when he wants to be in control, he doesn't force you not to follow the devil. He allows you to follow the devil. Have you ever done that? I have. Given the freedom God gave me, well, hey, I'll just do what I want. I mean, if God's not going to say, I just did three wrong things and nothing happened. I bet I could keep going on this one. You ever done that? Where, you know, you did something that God said not to do, but you're getting away with it? Did anybody ever do that? You did something that God said, don't do that. And you just did it, and you found out that nothing happened. It's kind of like, God's a big baby. He doesn't really mean it. I know people that get away with murder. Don't you? And it's often me. I'm often the guy that gets away with it, and I'm going, you know, God's not doing anything. I'm getting away with it. Nobody even knows. Nobody knows. Have you ever done that? You ever hidden something away like that? And God doesn't even catch you? Hello? Is there anybody out there? I'm talking to everybody here because we're all alike. We're all alike. Everybody here is a snake. Let's just say that so I got everybody. I am a snake. A vicious snake. Clever snake. A biting snake. As anyone who's been around me knoweth. You know, and so we're all snakes. Okay, so get rid of the thought that you're an angel. You know, just accept the fact that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's God's point of view, not yours. In your point of view, you're okay. Well, I'm not as bad as my sister. Well, I'm not as bad as, you know, so-and-so. Yes, you are. You're just more of a liar. You're just more of a fake. We're all identical. How many? All have sinned. All have sinned. All have sinned and fallen short. Everybody falls short. See, we make a big deal out of, well, you know, that and this. But you notice I didn't make it over to this. If you fall short, you fall short. It doesn't matter how far you went. You know, some people don't even go that far. They just kind of stumble and fall on the ground. But what's the difference? You didn't make it. You see, the goal was to be just like Jesus. That was the goal. So anybody that doesn't make it, period, over, out. When you get there, he doesn't say, well, what's wrong with this car? Well, it has a little air not in the tire. Out, it's not perfect. Another guy comes in, his engine blows up as he's just driving in. What's wrong with this car? Well, it's totally no good. I'll compare the little air in my tire that I had to his engine blowing up. But God wants perfection, so he just cancels them both. He said, you know, I don't want you to compare yourselves one to another, say, well, mine's not as bad as yours. Mine's better than yours. He doesn't care. Well, I haven't done as much as she did. Well, I didn't do as much as he did. Well, this doesn't make a difference to God. He only has one standard, perfect. Unless you're exactly like Jesus, you don't make it. How many know it's real hard to jump all the way over to there? I'm going to do it, but it's hard. I'm just going to tell you something. Don't do it. Why not? Oh. I've got non-sticks on these shoes. So God just doesn't, you know what God's whole thing is? Don't worry about it. I'll forgive everybody. He just kind of like a blanket deal because he can see nobody's getting over. So he erases the whole thing of the law and he sets up a whole nother way. He says, look, instead of you coming over to me, I'll come over to you. And he came over and then we killed his son. He came over and said, now Jesus, you go over there and tell him that you forgive him. Hi, I just wanted to know my dad forgives you. Ah! You know, and we killed the guy. And it's like, and it was Jesus is dying. You know what he says? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. I came here to love them, and they hated me. That's a good husband, a good wife. Hating the husband or the wife that we were given. It's a gift of God. Do you all know that you're gifts of God one to another? Say it. I am a gift of God. I want you to say it again so you get this down good. I am a gift of God. I am precious gift of God. Did you know that? I mean, that raises, that should at least raise humor, if not amazement. You should at least, that is powerful that you are a gift of God just as you are, not fixed up. Don't worry about that. That's just wrappings. God will take care of that. He made a promise. You didn't make the promise. He made the promise, I will perfect you. That good work I began in you, I will surely complete it at the last day. So anybody laying on the ground, let's say this was the Grand Canyon, and you tried to jump across and didn't make it. Anybody laying on the ground, Jesus comes along and picks him up. Say, hey, what you doing? Kind of broke up here. He only picks broken people. Have you noticed that about Jesus? He'll pick the losers. Looks like you lost. Yeah. Didn't make it. I'm on my last legs here. Well, I'll come back when you're dead. How you doing, sweetheart? Well, I didn't make it either. You know, and Jesus is only buying up all of the broken shards. Unless you're a ruined vase, he won't even pick you up. Hello? Is anybody here a ruined vase? I mean, look at your life. You have screwed up big time. You have messed up. Now, let's look at the scripture. This is such a powerful, 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 because I say that about anything, but this is powerful. Zephaniah, remember, it's God who is hidden, God who is the keeper, God who's got this treasure. Woe to her that is filthy. Sounds like us. And polluted. Sounds like us. To the oppressing city. Now, he's really talking here about Jerusalem. He's talking about the Jews. But he could be talking about any nation. Woe to her that is filthy and polluted, to the oppressing city. She obeyed not the voice. She received no correction. She trusted not in the Lord. she drew not near to her God. So God is basically saying, I told you not to go into the world. I told you not to go into the world. So we'll make this kind of like a city here, tall buildings. And at the top of the city is idol worship, idolatry. And then that always produces, always, immorality. You can't even get immorality without idolatry. Idolatry always produces immorality. Immorality always comes out of idolatry. Somebody who's immoral, they're first of all idolatrous. They worship another god. They hate God. They won't be corrected by God. They won't suffer. So they use immorality to pay God off and to live the life they want to live. And that always results in injustice to others. So hating God, loving myself in the flesh, being immoral, and it always produces injustice and lack of love to other people. So that's the world. Y'all aware of the world? Can y'all see how the world works? This is ironclad. There's nothing more to be said. I just explained the whole world. The world is full of idolatry, that is, false gods, and it's full of immorality, and all immorality stems from it, and full of injustice. So that's the way it is. Life is unfair. Every teenager learns that. It's unfair. It's not right. All the girls in my class are going to the dance. I have to stay home and do dishes. Yeah, too bad. That's the way it goes. In this family, you do dishes. If you'd have done them last night, like I told you, you could have gone to the dance tonight. You see, that is unfair. How many know that's unfair? And that teenage girl is just going to just throw a fit, a hissy. I'm leaving. You know, they'll do whatever they have to do to win. You're either going to let me go or I'm just going to go. Don't you love it when kids are like that? I don't care who you are. they just get their back up against the wall. Hello. We have a whole generation of people like that. Just a whole generation of people. They're just living their own thing. I mean, idolatry, not submitting to God, not worshiping God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength, that'll lead to immorality. So if you're immoral, you had to first of all be idolatrous. You had to have another God. You didn't like God correcting you. You didn't like God, you know, spanking you, disciplining you, making you wash the dishes. You didn't like it. I don't have to do it. And then kids start swearing. And you know, they're just, I tell you, kids can get, they can get stuff as, where did you learn that language? Listening to you and Mom. You know, and that's always funny, isn't it? Because I was always amazed when my kid would come up with these words. Well, where did you get those words? You know, you've been watching TV that I told you not to watch, or what? School. Sunday school? Yeah. You know. And so they can learn it right here. You can learn it right at church. You can learn swear words at church. Isn't that amazing? Anybody know what I'm talking about? There's a lot of hypocrisy in the church. Anyway, so God had in mind, this is real simple. God had in mind, get out of the world. Stop. That's wrong. Don't do that. Let's go over here to the promised land. And God sets up his, you know, his temple, a little different kind of deal. He sets up his temple, you know, little crenulations here. And he got his little thing. And he says, go to my house here, and I'm going to take you here. It'll be a glorious house, nice, nice place, glorious. And I want you to have peace, love, shalom, you know, agape, joy, heaven, you know, all this kind of wonderful stuff. So here's God's idea. Come out of here and go over to there. How many know that's God's, I mean, that's heaven. It's all blessings over here. Blessing upon blessing. Yes, pie in the sky, by and by. And over here, it's all hell to pay. All, you know, it's awful because it's just slavery. This is the house of bondage. Now, there's one thing I forgot to say. And that is going from this to this, actually there's something in the middle. That's called fire. Okay? This is the furnace. This is God's little idea of how to get you purified from being dirty over here. Over here I'm dirty, and I'm going to go over here and get clean. But in order to get from dirty to clean, I've got to go through this affliction, this test, this fire, this persecution, this suffering. So God, this is God's favorite thing. This is the cleansing process. Cleansing process. You know, he loves to send us through these trials, tribulations, trouble. In the world you have trouble. So trouble and all this stuff. And these are all from God. These are gifts of God to get me out of me and get me into him. So this is the deal. Here's number one. Here's number two. This is the nice place to be in order to get to number three. Now most Christians try to either stay here, or at least they're Christians right here on the line. They're very close back to falling into the world. Or they'll get right here because they don't want to actually suffer and die in order to get into the blessing in the heaven. So they linger on one side or the other. We call this one license. Licentious Christians. License. Over here we call these legalistic. Now, a legalistic Christian is actually exactly the same as a licentious Christian. No difference at all. No difference at all. There's no difference at all. But it looks different. It looks different. It looks like you're closer to heaven than to the world. But actually, you're exactly in the same place because you haven't been burned out yet. Israel is today going through her last furnace. She's got one more furnace. She's gone through six. Babylon, Persia, Greece, Rome, and so on. She's got six. Adolf Hitler was the last one, six. And now, today, is the seventh furnace, the seventh affliction. And God only redeems his people. He only gets you in the group three out of fire. He will never, ever restore a people who are not redeemed, and he will never redeem a people who are not fire. You have to go through the fire. The only way he can redeem you is out of the furnace, out of the affliction. So have you noticed that in your own life? You don't grow until you go through hell. Now, this is good message because no matter what you're doing today, sooner or later, everything's falling apart. And I'll win. See, because people remember, oh, yeah, that's the guy that prophesied we'd go through hell, judgment, and hated that guy. So I became a Methodist. That's when I became a Methodist. Okay, but that's all right, because even the Methodists have to go through it too. Say, well, I became a faith person. Okay, well, they're going through too. Well, I became a Bible church person. Well, they have to go through too. The Catholics have to go through it. Everybody has to go through it. Why? Because judgment begins in the house of God. It doesn't begin in the world. It begins in the house of God. This is where the judgment takes place. Why? What's he doing? What does all this do? This is, you know what's going on here? God is separating out. He's separating out. What trouble does is it separates out the flesh, which has to die, from the spirit, which lives on forever. So all that's happening when you go through trouble is your flesh is being hurt, but not your spirit. We put a negative sign here, a positive sign here. So the spirit is what's, you see, it's kind of like the lamb goes in and the lamb is burned up. All its flesh is dead, but the blood carries you on in because the life is in the blood. You see, there's life in the blood. When we take communion, there's life in that blood. That's what Jesus said. I mean, it looks like wine to you, but it's not. It's actually alive because your faith takes a hold of the fact that when I'm taking this meal, according to the Lord, in faith, when I'm doing that, I'm actually being filled with the Spirit. I'm being strengthened. It's not just like a meal, kind of like a... This is the Baptist way, and they're wrong. Baptists are wrong. They just say, oh, it's kind of like just a symbol of something. No, it's the something. It's not a symbol of something. It's the thing. Jesus said clearly, this is my body. Not it represents. Not it's a symbol of. Not it's a sign to the community or something. Anyway, I'm just making a point. So God is saying, no, don't fool with me, don't mess with me, don't play games with me, don't use your brains. Do what I say. If I say this is, then it is.
Well, I didn't understand that.
Well, I know you didn't understand it. So what? You see? It's kind of like,
well, I didn't understand. If I don't understand, you know.
Well, that is just snot. Right? Are y'all like that? I mean, I do it. Everybody does it. But I'm just saying it's wrong. And so God is not going to accept the fact that you thought this.
I thought this.
Well, so what? Who cares what you think? It's what God thinks. Take every thought captive to the Word of God. So somebody said, well, I didn't see how that was body and blood. Isn't that Catholic teaching? I don't care if it's Catholic teaching or not. Who cares? It is. He said it is, and it is. Well, they teach that it's transubstantiated. Well, that's how dumb they are. That is dumb. Okay, the Catholics are wrong too then. So now the Baptists are wrong because they say it's just the bread and wine, and the Catholics are wrong because they say it's the body because it was transubstantiated. I say this, it is his body because he said it is, period. Not because a miracle took place, not because somebody could explain it, not because somebody said, well, I don't think it was. You're both wrong. Everybody's wrong. Isn't that amazing? Aren't you glad you're in a church that has it right? Now, what God is trying to do is, he's trying to tell you something, is it isn't man, not by might. We're saying that today. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. All he's trying to do is get rid of the dung in your life and give you the gold. And most of us are like, could we do that in heaven? No, you're not going to do it in heaven. You don't even get to heaven unless you get this separation now. How many want to wait till heaven to live like heaven? You want to live like hell all the way to heaven. That doesn't make sense to me. Why on earth would you want to go to heaven? Why on earth would you want to go to heaven and then live like hell until you get there, if it's so wonderful? Wouldn't you want to get there early? Like little kids in the car. Are we almost there? No, it's been another 3 hours. Is it 3 hours yet? No, you just asked that a second ago. It's not 3 hours yet. Well, when is it? I told you it's another 3 hours. You know, little kids didn't have any comprehension of time. Kind of like, aren't we there? No, you're not there. Just lay down and go to bed. Well, how much do I have to count to? A gamillion. Count to a gamillion. You know, and the little kids, you know, and they'll do it. They'll sit there, one, two, three, four, you know. Because they think they're hastening the thing. The little kids are, they're clever little guys. But they're wrong. So don't figure God out. Now, here's the deal. The city that God said get out of is full of idolatry, only it happens to be Jerusalem. It isn't the world. God's not after the world. God is not judging America right now. Oh, yeah, he's judging America only because the church is America today. I mean, we're so bound together that when the world falls apart, we fall apart. I mean, the easiest way to get the church today is just touch the world. That's where their bank accounts are. That's where their fears are, their hopes are. It's all tied up in the American dream. That's what the faith teaching is all about and all these other let's get out of trouble teachings. Let's escape suffering teachings. Jesus suffered so we don't have to. No, Jesus suffered so you could. See, Jesus left you an example. Read Peter. I know he's not talking about sickness and health and all that kind of stuff, but don't make that the gospel. Just because you're not sick and you're healthy doesn't mean you're a Christian. You can be a Christian and be, you know, totally healthy and wealthy and nobody's indicted. Nobody's impressed. There's no witness or testimony to anybody. Are you hearing me? So that is dumb teaching. I don't know. This is a day I'm just picking on people. I just thought I would. I'm a prophet. I told you I'm not really a pastor. I'm a prophet. Prophets are black and white. I see everything clear. Everything is crystal clear to me. There are no grays. There's nothing but black and white. So that's why if somebody didn't like me, and I know there's a whole row of them here, another row right here, Peggy, thank God she's still here. But I've told her, you know, honey, you just stick in here. We don't get paid, so just stay here. But you see, I don't really care. I don't count. I don't count numbers or people or anything. And now you say, Pastor, why are you saying that? Well, I'll tell you why I'm saying it, because I believe in God. I believe God will build a church. I don't have to impress people or please people or whatever. I just serve God. Here's your only problem. Your only problem is not, Pastor, I saw a flaw in you. It's like, big deal. You know, that I, It's easy to get me, so don't worry about that. The only thing you got to watch out for is whether God loves me. Not only that, but whether I'm serving him. That's what you got to be careful of, because you can blow me off, but you still have to come back and say, did he speak accurately? Exactly. I know he had a lot of garbage there, but was there any word of God in it? Are you hearing me? I don't want ministers to be perfect. I just like to have some word of God in what they say. Anything. I mean, they don't have to be perfect. I mean, there's a lot of good ministers out there, by the way. I think they have a lot of word of God now. And so I'm okay with that. But what you want is to hear as much word of God as you can to be absolutely accurate. Here it is. Don't be in the world. Go through the fire and stay there for a while. Get cooked. You know, don't go into a, you know, a 325-degree furnace. You know, like that. Because you have to stay in for, I mean, there's not just the degrees of the furnace. There's the time. You got to stay in for 30 minutes or 45 minutes or whatever it is. Maybe it's a cookie, so they're quicker. Cookie. You know. But cake, you know, cake is slow, 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 slow. And puff up, there it is. Otherwise, it'll be flat, like a cookie. How many of you got married and your cookie wasn't ready? You married the right person, it's just the cookie wasn't ready. You should have left them in the oven a little longer to burn off the flesh. Because that's the whole point of the furnace, is to separate the good from the evil, the right from the wrong, that which is of God from that which is of man and the devil. That's the whole point of the furnace. The furnace isn't bad, it's God's tool. Now God, to cleanse his bride, actually uses Nineveh, that is Assyria, to afflict his own people. So, here, I need color. Pink. I never even knew I had pink. All right. So here's Assyria. Here's Assyria. That's pretty. Now, Assyria is a wicked nation, but God is using Assyria to punish Jerusalem, Judah, the Jews, because Judah claims to believe in God, but actually is full of idolatry, immorality, and injustice, just like Assyria. So God doesn't use somebody else. He uses the very people we're just like to convict us. In other words, they're the idolatry you're following. They're the immorality you're doing. They're the injustice that I told you not to do. So God uses this tool, and after he's done using the tool and chastens Judah by bringing her through the furnace, then he will judge Assyria. That's what this chapter is all about. That's what this book is all about. In fact, that's what all these prophets are about. They all say the same thing. Woe to her that is filthy and polluted to the oppressing city. She obeyed not the voice. She received not correction. She trusted not in the Lord. She drew not near to God. Her princes, that's number one. In other words, that's like government people. Her princes within her are roaring lions. Her judges, that's number two. Princes, those are kind of like the ruler types. Judges, those are like the ones that, you know, like our Supreme Court justices and so on. They are evening wolves. They gnaw not the bones until the morrow. So there's the problem that these judges are making judgments, and those judgments are not according to the constitution of the people, nor are they for the good of the people. They're only for the good of, you know, socialism or fascism or some kind of nonsense that they've cooked up. Her prophets, that's the third group. So now we have the religious group, we have the legislators, we have the judicial branch, we have the executive branch, we got all three branches. Her prophets are light and treacherous persons. What he's saying here is the religious leaders, and I just make it in our day, the religious leaders in our day, because there's no difference, they're light and treacherous. In other words, they're not serious people. They're not serious people. When I meet other pastors, I'm always unimpressed. I'm unimpressed. I don't see the love of Jesus. I always see they got some other deal that they're working out, some bus ministry or something or other that they're bragging on or boasting on or whatever. Don't you just love Jesus? You know, when you meet them, they shouldn't be bragging how many people they're running and so on and so forth. They should just be in love with Jesus. But they got another agenda. to be famous or great or, you know, to sleep with somebody or to run off with the money or something. They're always into something else. Does anybody, I don't know if you people are paying attention here. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? I mean, it shows up in the newspapers every once in a while that someone will run off with the organist or something, or someone will, you know, pilfer a lot of the money out of the church and scam the church, or somebody will be a big ego person to put their picture on a billboard or something instead of Jesus. You ever notice that? I always wonder, why would a pastor put his own picture on the billboard rather than Jesus? I thought it was Jesus' church. Hello! No, we don't have any of those, I'm sorry. We looked into it and it cost too much. So I decided to scam the church. In order to do that, I had to sleep with the organist. No, but I didn't do it. I was thinking about it. I didn't do it. Why? Because that is not the way God does it. He doesn't do that. He will use the world then to catch you. And the world is catching the church as hypocrites because they're not separated unto God. They're mixing flesh with spirit. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? You know, there'd be more Baptists and say amen so I can keep going. Now, God wants to send you through this furnace, and you're going to go through whether you want to or not. It's just that you won't make it unless you do. Now, if you're in the flesh, you'll be burned off and you won't make it. But if you have a spirit in you, you'll actually grow up. But there's no way to get here except through the fire. You got to go through the fire. Say it. I want to go through the fire. See, aren't you glad you came? The Lord, listen to this. Her prophets are light and treacherous persons. That's the way I think of the ministers today. I don't mean everyone, but I mean about 99.999. Her priests have polluted the sanctuary. They have done violence to the law. That's why there is no law today. I'm sorry for those of you who still think there's law. We are in a lawless, arbitrary situation. There's no constitution protecting you. I just finished the last 2 weeks read every single Supreme Court case. Every one. I mean, word for word, what every justice said, what everybody said. And I can tell you, they've broken all the laws. Deliberately, consciously, knowingly have broken all the laws. I could correct every justice that has ever sat on the court. There is no justice. None. And they know it, too. And if you read it, they actually tell you what they're doing. They're not even hiding it. They're just taking over all kinds of areas. For example, the Constitution never put education under the state. Today, all education's under the state. Even Christian education's under the state. Did you know that? They assume that they're responsible for all education. Where is it in the Constitution? Not a line anywhere. Get out. But they won't. They're determined to totally control, totalitarian-like, all children so that they can pollute them. They're totally polluted. The only group they haven't been able to get is the homeschoolers. But they've gotten all the Christian schools, they've gotten all the Catholic schools, they've got everybody under their laws. Compulsory education law refers to all children. I mean, I can just go on and on. I can take the economy. The government has no role in the economy, but today the government is the economy. Totally dominates it. The fact that you have businessmen controlling the government, which controls the economy, doesn't change the picture. There are big corporations that fund all of the politicians whom they buy and purchase so that the government takes control, but they actually control the controllers. It doesn't make any difference. It's still government got into business. Private, public, those are opposites. It's an oxymoron to call anything private, public. It's either private or public. But today everything is blur. Everything is snake. Everything is poison. Private, public. That's how Ross Perot made all his money. Private, public. A private guy taking public taxpayer money from Fort Worth to build the airport. Did you know that? That's the way all these guys do it. They're all into the largesse so that you have to pay higher taxes and higher taxes so you're totally enslaved and you can't even give God what he's due. You all understand that? This is all done deliberately, consciously, knowingly. It's not like, oh, they probably didn't know. Well, then get out. If you don't know anything, get out. Now, whose fault is it? Yours. And whose fault is that? Mine. I never educated you. So I blame the pastors. I blame me. Totally, 100%. I'll never blame you. I'll never blame the world. I'll never blame Lord. I don't care about all those people. But I'm just telling you something, you lost everything. Just what it says here in the Bible, it's exactly the same way today. I wish it weren't. I wish I could tell you a nice tale about how wonderful all things are. But I don't care about it because I like going through the furnace. Verse 5, the just Lord is in the midst thereof. The just Lord is in the midst thereof. So even though all this corruption is taking place, God is not dead. He's actually here as a just Lord and here, and he's taking his people through because he's just here too. In other words, I am going to judge the world, I'm going to chasten my bride, and I'm going to have a holy people. How many know you're the holy people? And don't get inspired today because I'm talking hard or something. Just forget inspiration. This is truth. It's going to set you free. It's the best news you've heard. It's good. You've got to know the truth. Now, God is going to judge the sin of the world. He's going to chasten his bride, but not kill her, till she gets all her whoredom out of her. How many know that God can take a whore and turn her into a virgin? No man can do that. This is a work of God. Only God can take you sinful and turn you into pure. How does he do it? I just told you, through the furnace. He doesn't do it because Jesus died on the cross. That's not how you become sinless. See, that's what everybody teaches. The Baptists teach that, the Bible church teaches that, everybody teaches that. What Jesus did, now you're okay. No, you're not. You still have to go through the furnace. I'm sorry. He's not going to say, well believed. He's going to say, well done. You've got to be done. You've got to be cooked. You've got to go all the way through. Don't just be a cookie. Be, you know, sizzle, sizzle, sizzle. You know, till you're burned up, till all the flesh is off, and only the spirit survives. There'll be a resurrection. Whoo! See? And you're not gonna survive the furnace. God has set up his furnace. He's got all his furnaces cooking up. And everybody crying, oh, God, be careful. We're good Christians, remember? Yes, of course. I remember, you hypocrites, you phonies. You know, and so he's just cooking up the fire. Get the bad guys. I am. Not us. We've always been good people. You're phonies and fakes, and you know it. So God isn't going to get you out till you're cooked. But when you get out, you'll be dead and then resurrected. But you have to be cooked. Amen? It's a loving thing. This is love in action. When you spank your children, it's because you love them, not because you're, you know, trying to dominate them or, you know, they're bothering you. The reason you spank them is for their good. You're spanking them so they don't run out in the street and get run over. You're spanking them for a good reason. Don't touch the stove. Didn't I tell you not to touch the stove? Don't pick that little figurine up. I said, don't. And little kids, they will defy you until you spank them. They usually delay because they're accusing you while they're waiting there. You so-and-so double-crossing, you used to love me. And, you know, and a little kid is just stunned the first couple times you spank their hand. Who are you? I don't know you. You used to be my father. You know, and I mean, there's a real shock when you hit them because the person that loves them disciplines them. You see? So what God is saying is, people, I love you. That's why I'm putting you through this trouble, because I love you. I could spare you from it, but you'd be a bastard. I want you to go all the way through so you're mature. Let's get rid of all the flesh. How many here have said at one point or another, God, whatever it takes, I mean it. I'm serious. I want to be a Christian, not only in the next world. I'd like to be a Christian here. God knows I need it. God says, yes, I know. You need to be, I care what it takes, whatever it takes to get all the sin out of your life now. How many want today to be the last day that sin runs your life? You know, and so what that means is affliction. I mean, what you're doing is inviting God to turn the heat up. It's not like, oh, you'll get good teachings. No, you don't need teachings. How many of you don't need any more teachings? Are you aware that I always teach the same thing every week? And that you don't really need to come? Or you could come and fall asleep? Because I just repeat it every single week, same thing. So somebody says, I got his message down. He probably did. If you came one time, you probably got the message down. But it isn't in your life yet. The reason we repeat all the time is because a good teacher knows that repetition is very good. God repeated from beginning to end in the whole Bible, same message. I hate sin. I will chasten my own children who are hypocrites until they're not, and I will have a holy people. Same message. It always has the same message. So how many know the more troubles you go through, the more blessed you are? How many have had a few blessings? You know, because God is what he's saying is, I know you're not a weakling that'll run away the minute I give you a little trouble or trial. You'll stay with it to the end. Not he who begins, but he who endures to the end will be saved. Salvation is not just, you know, sort of getting reborn. Salvation is getting reborn, then growing up, and then becoming an adult. Are you aware of that? Now, you see, most churches have taught, they just stay right here next to the world. All you got to do is get out. So they baptize you in water and you're out. Or they make sure you have a heart experience and then you're out. No, that's not salvation. That is just salvation of your spirit. But here's salvation of your soul, and here is salvation of your body, your life. God never meant salvation just to be this. This is just A. But this is the problem right here, B. So that we get some C's. You see, what God is wanting to do, and don't worry, I'm not going to keel over, because I don't hear many people teaching it, so as long as there's not many people, I'll probably live. And you can shoot me right now, but I'll probably live, because I believe God wants people to teach what I'm just teaching you. I'm a prophet. I just told you that. That means I'm ahead of the game. Other people are going to be teaching what I'm teaching you right now. I guarantee you, I always have, and if you paid attention, I guarantee you, I'm already 5 years down the line. And everyone will be teaching what we're teaching today, because it's the truth. And it's in the Bible exactly as it said, and you can't change it. So they'll all be saying it, and that's great. Let them get all the credit and the glory. I don't want any. I don't want any. All I want to do is make sure you guys are dead. I just want to make sure you have no fun and no life at all. That's all I ask for. Now, this is great. This is good stuff. I hope you're enjoying it. The furnace, I'll tell you what, the furnace is the happiest place you could be. The just Lord is in the midst thereof. He will do no iniquity. In other words, if you're righteous, he isn't going to hurt you. Every morning, he brings forth his judgment to light. God will never have an earth where he isn't always on the throne bringing forth judgment. I don't care if you're in China today or in Muslim country, where you are, he faileth not. But the unjust knoweth no shame. I have cut off the nations. God rules all the nations today, even Muslim nations, even atheist nations. He rules them all anyway. Their towers are desolate. I made their streets wasted so that none would pass by. Their cities are destroyed, so there's no man. There is not even one inhabitant. By the way, that's going to happen to Israel, literally. Do you understand what I just said? Israel is literally, I'm prophesying to you, going to have cities without inhabitant. I don't care if it's the Muslims or who it is. I'm just telling you, that's what's going to happen. I've said it for years and years and years, and I'm telling you, it's happening now, but it's going to happen so that you actually have whole cities destroyed. Don't think that that God's tools are just Assyria and Babylon and Persia and Greece and Rome. They're still alive today. Those tools God is using to chasten his people, because when God is done cooking them, they will come out pure as the driven snow. They will come out pure. Israel is going to return to Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah. That was her king. The reason that the king comes is here to bring shalom, to bring peace on earth. Not just for Israel, but for the whole earth. But that hasn't happened. And love, not just conditional love, but unconditional love, and joy unspeakable, and blessing. Baruch haba b'shem Adonai, blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. I'll tell you what, Jesus is coming back very soon, but he can't come back until the furnace is done. He will not come back until Israel has been restored. The two sticks have to be joined together. That is the house of Judah and the house of Joseph, or the house of Ephraim, doesn't matter. You're going to have, that is those messianic type Jews that have kept the traditions all these years but found Jesus to be the only hope. Then you're going to have those Jews that are traditional Jews but are just legalistic, your normal Jewish people that are orthodox. Then you're going to have the New York City pagan type Jew who's, you know, into pornography and every other filthy kind of thing and just, you know, doesn't have any philosophy at all. Just kind of, you know, goes with the wind. All of those are going to be brought back together into one people. Isn't that amazing? That's amazing that God could do that, and it's the same with us. We're the Gentiles, the bad guys, the polluted ones, and we're going to all go in together because we're all alike. When God pulls them all together, you're going to know there's a God. Now, it hasn't happened yet because the furnace isn't cooked up yet. But as the furnace is cooking up, that wall that they're building over there, that wall isn't going to hold a thing. I guarantee you, that wall is nothing. They'll blow that apart in just minutes, seconds. You understand, there's no wall you can build. When God is determined to discipline his children, he's going to spank them. Right? You know what I'm saying? It's like the little kid, and you say, all right, I'm going to give you a spanking. And then they start running. I love it. And they run right around the table, and there you are. And then they run around, and there you are. And they just, you can't get away from God. How many know God's bigger, stronger, smarter, invisible, up, down, around, everywhere. And the little kid just, that's what that little kid is feeling, incredible fear. Right after the, you know, the exhilaration of I ran away. You know, instead of standing here and getting a spanking like a dumb little two-year-old, I'm running. You know, and that little kid is so excited. It's exciting. Ha ha, I got away. I got away. Yahoo, yahoo. Oh my God. You know, oh my God. You know, and that is, I love, don't you love that? Don't you love that? You ever do that to your kids? Boo. You know, and they realize they're just little kids. So are we. We are just children. God's going to have his way. There's no tough guys out there. God is in charge of everybody. I said, God, surely you will fear me. You will receive instruction. That's number three, by the way. It has nothing to do with people wanting to go into the furnace. You don't want to go, but he's going to put you in anyway. So your dwelling should not be cut off. Howsoever I punish them. But, you know, they rose up early and corrupted all their doings. In other words, even though I spanked them, they still rebelled. Therefore, wait upon me, says the Lord, until the day I rise up for the prey. In other words, you think that spanking was something? You have no idea what I've got in store for you. For my determination is to gather all the nations so that I may assemble all the kingdoms to pour upon them mine indignation, my wrath, even all my fierce anger. For the earth, all the earth, shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. How many know that's going to happen? Do you know what's going to happen? That's called Judgment Day. God's going to do it. It's very close right now. I'm telling you, it's close. For then I will turn to the people a pure language. Now, I wrote this down. This is Hebrew language. This is the word ps. This is the word f, the letter. And this is the word ah, safa. So safa, the Jewish people write this way. They go from right to left. Safa, safa. What does that mean? That means language. It has a lot of meanings, but that's what it means, language. Then this one is ba, B-E. Here's the little E down here, these two little dots. And this is ru-ra, barura, safa, barura. That means something that is a pure language, a perfect language. Why is it pure? How did the language suddenly get pure in the church? The same people that were idolatrous, the same people that were rebellious, how did they suddenly develop a pure language? It's on the board. I'll give you a hint. It's number two. It's number two. What purifies is fire. The baptism of fire. We've all heard of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It says you will receive the Holy Spirit and fire. And we always skip that part. I don't know why. It's just kind of like people just skip that part as though there was the Holy Spirit. Yeah, you know, and that's the fun part. You know, your legs lengthen, you sing happy songs, you know, that kind of thing. But what about the fire? You know, we didn't want the fire. I mean, those don't seem to go together. Happy, 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 fire. No, you know, there's something wrong there. So we just erase that part. Just forget that part. Well, that's the best part, people. The reason he gave you the spirit is because fire doesn't burn spirit. It only burns flesh. The fire only burns flesh. Remember when they came into the temple and they brought their offerings? It only burned up the flesh, the meat, the bad part. It was all burned up in smoke and it's gone. It's just ashes now. But the blood liveth on. That's where the spirit is. The spirit's in the blood. Spirit's in the blood. So God is going to purify the worship of his church. Today there are worship teams in some churches. And we have a wonderful worship team. I thank God for Paul and for all the people that do it. Kenny and everybody. It's beautiful. But worship must grow out of the people, not out of the musician with his instrument. It has to grow out of the people. Worship is not something that takes place up there to entertain. Worship is something that the whole body with one heart, one soul, one strength issues up to God, born out of a common affliction. It's only born out of a common affliction. When we've all suffered, that joins us together. You're never going to be joined together in wealth. That's the whole idea of a corporation. Let's all get rich together. Yeah, well, that's fine, but it ain't going to work. But what you could join together in is suffering. You have more in common with everybody through suffering than you do through prosperity. And when we all go through this furnace, the whole church, anyone that God loves, now bastards he doesn't even deal with, but anyone who's a child who calls himself by the name of God, he will burn off the hypocrisy and remove it because they're not walking in the ways of the Spirit. Remember, those are the sons of God who are led by the Spirit of God, not who are believing or talking or wanting to be Christians. I know everybody here believes, everybody here wants to be a Christian. You're just not doing it. Could I get an amen? Could I get another amen? Yeah. You're just not doing it. Yeah, I don't know why you're reluctant on that. If I'd have said, I'm handing out million-dollar bills, okay. You know, but, you know, that's exciting. Is you're right. We're not doing it. We're talking about it. We're wanting it. We're believing in it. But none of that counts. I'll just tell you right now, it doesn't count. It doesn't count. That doesn't count. He says, those are sons of God. They're called sons of God who are led by the Spirit. Not those that are believing in the Spirit. You know, wanting to walk after the Spirit. No, you have to actually be led. How many know that's more difficult? Because you'd have to go through the furnace to do that. And that's the problem with that, is you have to go through this fire. But it makes your worship pure. This is what makes Sapha Barura happen. This pure language that God is going to get. Now let's see where he gets this from, because this may shock you. This may surprise you where this people is going to come from, because it's not Texas. For then, after the fire, I will turn to the people, that is, I'll give them back, a pure language. Now, it's not the languages they now have from Babel. That they may all call upon the name of the Lord to serve him with one consent. Remember on the day of Pentecost, all the nations came together. They all began to sing praises unto God, each in their own different languages. But they all had the language of the Holy Spirit. From beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, my suppliants, even the daughter of my dispersed, shall bring mine offering. Did you hear what that just said? God is saying, beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, he's standing in Jerusalem, he's looking toward Ethiopia, he's saying, the continent of Africa is where I'm going to have a pure language. You talk about worship, go anywhere in the world. You will never hear worship like you can hear in the smallest hut in Africa. And I remember the first couple times I went, you couldn't even sleep over there. People are singing all night long, everywhere. Those people are so in love with Jesus. Their worship, I'm just telling you, their worship is pure. And they don't need instruments, they don't need anything. They just get together and they just start all swaying together. You know, I don't even know how they do that. I can't even clap on time. You know, but they can do it. And I remember the first choir I saw over there, 2,000 women. Just 2,000 women. It's like, that's your choir? You know, that's just your choir. Yeah, that's our choir. And then we have the men's choir, and then we have the children's choir. You know, it's like, golly, I mean, how big is your church? You know, and the churches over there are immense. They're huge. When you have a meeting over there, there are thousands of people that are walking. They're not taking buses. They're not driving cars. They're walking 20, 30 miles to come to the church. But I'll tell you, you know what they're doing? The whole way, singing. When they get to the market, they're singing. You can go anywhere to any African country, just raise your hand like this. Praise the Lord! And everybody will respond, hallelujah! They will. Anywhere you go, Nigeria, you know where. It's amazing. Here's the people, 20,000 a day. 20,000 a day, they're coming to Jesus. The Muslims are losing big time all over Africa. At one time, I remember, because I used to go, the Muslims, like Libya and Saudi Arabia, they were trying to buy countries, like Tanzania, Norman's country. They actually offered to buy your public debt so they could own the country and then give it to the Muslim as a Sharia law nation. They're doing it today through guns, but in those days they wanted to pay for it, to buy it. And they would buy up, with all the billions and trillions they have, they would buy up any country's debt if you just become Muslim. And Tanzania almost accepted it. Nigeria, almost. They spent $2 billion to buy Nigeria. And they have built everywhere in America, everywhere over Africa, everywhere in Europe, mosques to their God, to Allah, to their religion, their Islam, their way of life. I tell you, God is so smart. He's got this thing. You don't escape this furnace. You're not going to escape. You're not going to escape. So how are we going to get this pure language? Go through the fire. Just go through the fire. You know, go through the fire. What can happen? Your flesh. That's all. Your spirit's going to live. Do you realize we're going to win? But any athlete knows you can't just go out and be a natural athlete. You got to practice. You got to do push-ups. You got to, you know, do whatever you got to do. And it's always hell. It's hard. It's sweat. It's got to show up every day. And piano playing is the same. And horse riding. And I don't care what you do. It takes hard work, sweat. I mean, the only way you get through this world is sweat. There's no like religion, you know, like you're just inspired all the time. No, no, no. It's 99% perspiration, only 1% inspiration. Most of what we do is just flat hard work. It's hard work being married to Peggy. I was telling you, it's hell at times. But thank God I'm a good person and I endure it. And, you know, no, it's not easy being married, raising children, you know, having a church. It's not easy doing anything. Everything is impossible. Amen? And not only that, but on top of it, you have to rejoice. You have to rejoice. Okay, what are we having for dinner? Just be quiet and eat the burnt toast. Okay, well, I just was asking. Just wanted to know. Well, just be quiet. Well, can I say praise the Lord for the burnt offering? That Peggy's a tyrant. It's great. I love it. It's a gift of God. She's the best thing ever happened to me. I would not be a Christian today if it weren't for Peggy. I absolutely wouldn't. But I tell you, when you're married to her, you have to have a God. You have to. Hello. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. God wants you to know life isn't easy. He never made it. He doesn't want it to be easy. You're not a orchid or something that can only grow in certain climates. You're adaptable anywhere. You can praise God in every situation. I don't care how bad it is, how good it is, whatever. Praise God. Amen? His praise will continually be in my mouth. What God is looking for is a people like Africa that have gone through the furnace over and over and over and over and over again until they stop hoping in man and they just start looking to Jesus. You go to Africa, they live in the dirt. They'll have a little mud type of hut with a thatch roof on it kind of thing. And they'll give you, you know, the best they have, you know, like maybe a Coke or something or orange juice or whatever like that. And they'll give it to you, though it's the last thing in their house. They'll give it to you. The bottle might be dirty, all that stuff. It doesn't make any difference. They're going to give you the best they have. And they'd be insulted if you didn't take it. So here's to the bugs. You know, because you can't worry about, you know, drinking poisonous things. I'm just telling you, they're loving you. But they don't care that they don't have cars and buses and money and stuff like that. They're eating all kinds of things. that I don't want to eat. I have eaten them, though. You know, it's like, oh, God, don't tell me what I just ate. You know, well, those are just caterpillars, and they were very good. They're fresh, you know. What is this? You want some more? Yeah, I'm pretty full. And so, but I'll tell you what, their praise to God, it's immense. It's glorious because they've been through so much hell. And they're not complaining. They don't even care. They're not caring. It's only here we gripe and complain about everything. Hello, we're spoiled rotten. We need spankings. Amen? Aren't you glad? You know, I used to preach the message about God loves you unconditionally. This is a much better message. God is out to destroy every vestige of sin in your life. You know, it's a much better message. It's great. It's not the same thing as hellfire and damnation. That's where you're going. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about how you get to the other place. You have to go through the hellfire and damnation here. See, that's not permanent. That's temporary. Spankings only last a few moments. Who for the suffering that we endure in this is not to be compared, Paul says, to the glory that's coming. If you don't suffer with him now, you won't be glorified with him later. You understand that? When you see the bride coming down the aisle, when you see the bride coming down the aisle, she's coming to a bridegroom who's gone through hell. And he's rejoicing and he's radiant. And he's still got his wounds on him. You're not going to see a Jesus with an unwounded body. He's always going to have the scars on his forehead and on his hands and in his side and on his feet. Always. That will be the most glorious thing about him. It's ugly. But that's what Jesus is going to bear because it says, that's how much I loved you. I didn't want you to take that. I took it for you. And the bride, when she comes down, she has to also be chastened sore or the people won't recognize that she's fit for him. Do you see what I'm saying? The only reason they're going to know we're Christians is because we worship God, which cost us, and we love one another, which cost us, and we testified to this lost world, which cost us. Now, what God is doing is he's in the midst of us, and he is going to rule and reign, not in the world, not in the furnace, but he's here. He is the Lord of the whole earth, and he's going to judge it. He is Lord here in his people that are hypocrites, and he will chasten them. But he's going to live in the remnant of his people, Israel, and all the Gentiles that are righteous are going to be right here. And you will make it. It's not your promise, it's his. I'm not even asking you to agree with this. I'm not even asking you to like it. I'm just telling you how it's going to be. You don't have to do anything but either believe or don't believe. If you don't believe, I have no problem. But if you believe that this furnace that Israel is going to go through, and it has a name, Jacob's trouble, means Jewish. Jacob is Jewish. Jacob's trouble. And you know what else it means? The sons of Levi are being purified in the fire. The purifying of the sons of Levi. That is the priesthood. That is the holy people. Now God is asking us to know that our job as a church is to make Israel jealous while she's going through this furnace, by our mercy, by joining her in the fire. Hey, what are you guys doing here? Well, we have some scriptures for you. Got some New Testament, a few Old Testament. I think you'll like them. Get out of here. This is our furnace. Well, we thought we would join you. You need some friends. Not you. I'd rather have the devil. Get out. And the Jewish people don't want Christians to join them. They're kind of like pushing us out. This is just for us. Yeah, but you're suffering and it's awful. We just wanted to help you. Get out. Woo. Coming in. You see? And the Jewish people hate it because we're coming in and they know these scriptures. They know them well. They just don't believe you'll come in. Especially if they kill you at the door. They don't want you getting in the furnace with them. This is our furnace. We just thought we'd, you know, give you a few scriptures while you're burning. Hey, let's just praise the Lord here. Oh, shut up. No, I mean it. Yeshua. You know, and we just start singing all these songs, and they hate it. But you know what? They're convicted by it. And as they see you die off, they're killing you while the world's killing them. As they see you die off, they'll repent. They'll break. they'll realize, God, this was your love to us. I don't know if you got what I just said. It's from the God. I just told you something from God. It isn't because you escape or, you know, you got asbestos suits on. It's because you're willing to go through the furnace voluntarily. They're going to be forced in there because everybody hates their guts. When you find out the stuff they've done, they're going to be hated. And they're not worthy of love anyway. Let them get it. That was the attitude in World War II. Let them get it. Just like, you know, some of these TV guys or radio guys, let the Muslims kill each other off. You know, we could say the same. No, don't let them do that. I'll tell you what, God is doing something great. Now, if anybody here today got a hold of this, saw it, it's a miracle. I don't blame you. It isn't because you couldn't understand my English. It's because you don't like what you heard. But if you got a hold of it and you said, you know what, Pastor? I really, truly believe what you just said out of Zephaniah. I just believe that that's the hidden treasure that someone brought out into the open that was hidden away, so precious, so chosen, that that's what I want to do with my life. I want to be part of that hiddenness that God was watching over, that treasure he's about to bring out in these end times and reveal his total love for us. Do you all see it? Does anybody see it? Anybody see it? It's a hard message. I don't care that somebody says, I don't see it, I don't like it, I don't want it. Okay, I understand. No problem. You know, I'll pick you up on the next time around. Because you don't have a choice. If I'm right, you don't have a choice. If I'm wrong, it doesn't matter. I just get paid for it anyway. But if I'm right, if I've spoken the word of the Lord, then you need to start rejoicing in the affliction now. Because if you can't run against men, how will you even run against horses someday? You think this is tough? It's nothing. Do it now, and God will spare you from the great tribulation that's coming on the world. I'm going to say that again. If today you start to love one another, you start to worship God, you start to testify, you start to witness and believe what I've just told you, if that's the case, you not only will not go through the furnace, even though you're willing to, just like Abraham was willing to sacrifice his son, but he didn't do it. God will spare you in the day of trouble and trial and tribulation because you don't need to go through because you've already done what he wanted voluntarily. I don't know if you heard what I just said. God isn't wanting people just to go through the furnace and say, yeah, see, I burned them all. No, he isn't just spanking his children. I never spanked my children if I felt like they got the message without the spanking. You know, like Dave was good. Dave, are you here? Hopefully he's in the back. But here's how he would do it. Yeah, he's teaching Sunday school because the spankings work. Okay, here's the deal. He would come, Dad, I'm so sorry. You know, and he looked so piteous. I just couldn't spank him. And of course, he knew what he was doing. I mean, he was clever. Dad, really, I mean, I'm God, my son. You know, he was so good. He was awesome. And I went, well, Dave, you know, it looks like you've already learned your lesson. I have, Dad. I learned my lesson. And then, walking down the hall, I'm sure he had a big smile on his face. But, you know, I never caught him. But I always felt, you know, if they're learning it, I'm winning. Even if they didn't do it quite right, there's other days for spankings. You see? But, you know, it seems like he got the concept of be good rather than be bad. But he was a naughty boy. Dave was naughty. We would tell him, all right, Dave, we're going to give you 25 cents for every bag of leaves. And you know, there's about 30 bags out here to do. And you just do that all day and you'll get, you know, whatever it is. And then you'd come out and there would be a half a bag sitting there. And where's Dave? Dave! Dave! And he's way down the street playing with one of his friends. So you go down there, and is Dave here? Yeah, he's in the back. Dave? Oh, Dad, yeah. I was just coming now. You know, he's going to come. And so we get him back home again. And now, Dave, you got to get all these bags done today. I know it, Dad. I'm doing it. I'm going to do it. And then he'd have about a bag and a half, and he'd be back down there again. He's just a naughty boy. Isn't that amazing? That was mother's training. Yeah, she spoiled him. See, this is a bad woman. But, you know, it's okay, because I was going to beat the snot out of her. You know, I wasn't going to have any friendly Jesus kind of stuff. It was going to be Moses all the way. What am I telling you to get those bags done? Now you get them done right now. All right, that's it. You know, and I'd just take off the belt and get him. And so Dave, you know, feared me, so he never went to me. And Mom said, did you notice he doesn't like you? Yeah, well, if you notice, you're spoiling him. It's going to turn out awful. And it's all your fault. Let me have him. He's my boy, too. No, you're mean. And I remember how the kids, when they'd see me spanking David, their eyes would get big as saucers. Wow. You know, Dad's killing him. Discipline. It doesn't hurt. It doesn't hurt. It doesn't hurt. It doesn't hurt. Remember one day Peggy said, well, you've ruined that boy. Because I did some stupid stuff once. And he hates you. He does not. He just walked by me the other day. I didn't see any hatred. He does. He hates you. You've just ruined him. He didn't even notice you, I'll bet. I think he did. I think he said hello or something. No, he hates you. And I said, well, I don't believe that. Let's call him in. Dave, do you hate me? He looked at her. He thought about it. I don't think so, Dad. You see, Mom, he doesn't hate me. And she said, well, tell him what you did. Well, you know, the time I slammed you up against the wall and so on, all this kind of stuff. Said, do you remember that? No, I don't remember that. Well, you know how I went into some more description to try to bring it to mind because Mom felt I'd ruin his life forever. You know, so on and so forth. He said, well, I probably deserved it. And he walked out of the room. It was cool. I got my son back. All I'm trying to say is God's chastening is always for your good. It's always for your good. It's always for your good. He has never, ever, 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 ever thought of anything except to bless you. Never. It's impossible. Your parent, your God in heaven, would never do anything except bless you. So anything that happens in this world, he's watching over it. There's no bad guy out there. There's no devil out there that can hurt you. I'll tell you right now, there's no bad guy out there. They're all God's. God owns all the nations, runs everybody's life. I don't care how wicked they are, God can pull them in just like that. Do you understand? Stop being afraid. Stop being afraid of the big bad wolf. There's nothing out there. There's only God. If God says rejoice always, he means it. Let's close in prayer. Father God, we thank you that you are restoring a pure language to the peoples. Purified, cleansed as through the furnace, as through fire, as through suffering, as through chastisement, as through affliction, as through all kinds of difficulties and trials and tribulations. I thank you, Lord God, that these two are part of your plan. All things, good and apparently bad, are good. All things work together for the good of them that love the Lord. Because you are the King of Israel. You are the King of Israel, the true King. You are the one that will reign on Mount Zion with your people. Not only your natural people, Israel, who will repent, who will be afflicted, but will turn away from their sins and become holy, but also because of your bride, the church, so that we will all be one bride, one Israel, one people, purified as through the fire, singing one message, Baruch Haba, B'Shem Adonai. I thank you, Lord God, you are about to return, but not until you finish what you started. You made the promise. You obligated yourself. You're the one that said, I will, I will, I will, I will. We didn't say it. You said it. So you will bring us through. You'll bring us out. You'll bring us through. You'll take us in. And we give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his shalom, his peace. Amen and amen. I love you all. God's good.
Africans better off than we are then?
Spiritually. Could be.